Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
$10.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
You son of a b-. You better not hire that coach who can't even have a decent record at Rutgers.
Legendary Pennsylvania jockey Jose Flores died after a sickening racing incident yesterday.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
You're disgusting. We're going to hire the man that gave 69 points to the Butch Jones offense?
Nice.
No longer a Vol for life. Seriously, John, f*** you.
On 1340 WKGN.
Spike the Elephant may be the happiest elephant in the world. Why is he the happiest elephant in America, you might ask? He joined six female elephants, Ambika, Shantai, Bozi, Kamala, Swarna, and Maharani, in his elephant pit.
Do you want to be average? Grow a pair of you. Back on the program, kicking off hour two. Before we get to headlines, let me tell you about my friends at the McKinney team. McKinney team represented us as we bought our home. Were with us through every step of the way. Have been with us even after closing, trying to work out a couple issues. When they say the clients come first and that they're not happy unless the client is happy, they mean it. Give them a call, 865-548-8267. That's the McKinney team with Keller Williams. Hour two headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Tennessee missed out on a big-time recruit, according to David Ubben, although some people have said that Tennessee wasn't recruiting this guy hard. Knoxville Catholic kid, Bryn Tucker, big offensive lineman, he committed to Clemson yesterday. I've heard that that Tennessee wasn't hard after him, which I don't know if that's true.
I mean, I don't know if they weren't hard after him because they knew they weren't going to get him, or if they just thought he was soft and didn't want him. I don't know.
Or is that just an excuse people are making because we didn't get him?
Have you talked to your dear friend Bear about this? I mean, you know Bear reps Catholic hard.
I have not talked to Bear about this.
And this is...
And why are you calling him my dear friend as if... What does that mean? Like,
have you talked to
my
our...
friend and not your friend?
You and Bear are closer than me and Bear. I mean, me and Bear are cool, but you and Bear are thick as thieves.
I thought it was like a your friend Bear. Like,
no.
I don't like Bear.
Like, no, I like Bear.
I know you like Bear.
But Bear's my friend.
You
he's your dear friend.
Are you mad at Bear?
Have you talked to my friend Bear? I mean, it just sounds better
he's
to say
friend
your
friend, too.
I mean, it just makes... have you...
I mean, obviously, you and Bear are closer than John and Bear. Like, you have secrets, secret phone calls you're talking about all the time.
Yeah.
No, we don't. Bear calls me a lot, and I, you know, we talk about, usually we talk about.
The other day, you wouldn't even tell John who you were on the phone with. You were trying to keep it all secret until John saw your phone.
What? You guys are pretty buddy-buddy.
What are you talking about?
You guys used to text during the show, talking trash.
We still do.
Okay, he doesn't text me during the show. So
me?
You're
yes,
dear
he does.
No, he doesn't.
He texts me
obscenities. He just texted me and you just now. I don't know what he said.
Oh,
I haven't read it yet.
He did just text us both.
He heard his name. He just heard Bear. Hey.
I mean, he just said that, I don't know. He kind of just backed up your line of thinking of Tennessee not really in on this kid. Tennessee not really wanting Bryn Tucker.
So you think that's it? Tennessee didn't really want him? And if that's the case, isn't that dumb if you're Tennessee?
We've had this discussion before. Like, I don't think you have to recruit local kids.
I think you do. When you've got a four- or five-star kid in your backyard, you kind of say hello.
I mean, did you want Cade Mays? Yes. Cade Mays is really good. Did you want Cooper Mays? Yeah, they really want Cooper Mays. Should we have gotten T. Higgins and Amari Rodgers? Yes. But other players who have come from, you know, come locally that didn't work out, or players that we've taken locally that didn't work out, it's all like a case-by-case basis for me.
I think if they're a four-star hire, you talk to them.
If I'm a coach, I don't just look at stars. Like, I think you have to take other things into account, too. Like, if this guy was rated as a three-star, it changes your mind, right?
How do you think, if you're a coach, how do you think coaches find these kids if they're not? Because if I was a coach, I'm just looking at 247 all the time, just updating with the 4 and 5 stars. Like, hey, we should probably talk to this kid. Apparently he's a 5-star. He's in Jackson. Let's go talk to him.
I mean, I think you can get in some big trouble doing that. Like, would it work out? Maybe, but I do think that would lead you to taking some guys, and you are at that point just relying on people who scout football rather than people who coach football. And that's no offense to people who scout football. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, every system's different. Not every player is going to fit in your system, type of thing, right?
Like, well, yeah, of course. But I wonder if there are coaches out there who do that, who use that as kind of their starting base.
I mean, there's like whole recruiting offices, right? So like, there's probably people just sitting in desks, searching databases, watching film all the time.
I'm sure somebody's system is, though, we're going to go to the top 300 players in the country and start from there.
I mean, if you know what your system is, go look at their offers. Like, if you know football, you know what you're looking for to fit your system, you know that there's other coaches probably who run similar systems. You go look and see who they offered.
I mean,
makes it easier on you.
I think you see, like, whenever we have like our coaching turnarounds, whenever somebody comes in and like you just hear how they're offering basically everyone from 1 to 300.
I would almost guarantee you Spurrier did that.
That's kind of how it sounded like with Butch. It was like, yep, yeah. Tennessee has an offer from 1 to 50 here.
Yeah. I bet Spurrier did that.
If the coaches didn't want the kid, don't recruit the kid just because he's from Knoxville. That's kind of my line of thinking. Like, is it cooler to win with in-state kids? Sure. But it's cooler to win than lose. So if you think that this guy isn't going to help you win games, don't give him a scholarship just because he's from Knoxville.
I don't know, man. I think if he's a 4-star, I mean, I know they're not just looking at stars, but you got to be pretty good to be at least graded as a 4-star. I mean, how different can a 17 to 18-year-old offensive lineman be for your system? You're looking for big, tall kids with long arms who can block. No matter what system you run at the age of 17, can you not mold them into what you want?
Here's what I'm going to say. I don't know where this staff has earned the benefit of the doubt yet. Right? Like, I don't know where all you would look and say, you know what? These guys know what they're doing here. Let's trust them.
Oh, they've got it.
Where at? Like, where are you giving them the benefit of the doubt?
With the fan base. I mean, there's a lot of sheep out there.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about me and you. Like, I don't know, like, what we're giving them the benefit of the doubt for. Like, I believe strongly that they're going to get the secondary right. I think they have too many good secondary coaches and too many highly recruited players to not turn into a really good secondary. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt there. And right now, after this last year, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to recruiting offensive linemen. Is that fair to say? Like, when you get Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright, thanks, Ben Lee, drew a blank. It's been a long time since February, whole month. When you get Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright and you get Jackson Lampley, like, those are, you know, three big-time offensive lineman prospects. Two of them came from the state of Tennessee, right? Or no, one. One.
I believe Morris was originally from Tennessee and moved.
Okay, moved to Georgia.
Lampley from Tennessee,
okay.
Right, West Virginia.
Yeah. I'm kind of going to give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to offensive linemen. Right now, maybe that's going to really blow up in my face. I don't know.
I will say this about offensive linemen. I've always said this. You do want big, dirty guys.
Mm-hmm.
You want nasty, mean guys.
Sure.
I don't think the size necessarily matters or the athleticism. I mean, to a degree. Obviously, it matters. They can't recruit me. But to a degree, I think that goes out the window and you look more at the mean streak. And there are probably are some kids who just don't have that, you know, especially in today's age. All these Gen Zers? A lot of them are probably soft. So you do got to find the kids with the mean streak.
Yeah, I guess we haven't really talked about many notes from spring practice so far because it's spring practice and football is not playing for, what, another 5.5 months?
I mean, this younger generation, are these guys even tough anymore? these football players coming out? Are they even tough?
So far, Marcus Tatum and Jameer Johnson have worked inside at guard with the first team.
Or do they just sit inside and play video games all day?
Nathan Niehaus has apparently gained 40 pounds since last year and is playing some at playing some at first team at right tackle.
Nathan Niehaus.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Butch Jones recruit.
Tatum's put on 25 or 30 pounds. So far,
he needed to. The guy's like 6'10 and weighed 200 pounds.
You gave up on the Gen Z rant? You couldn't go a couple more lines as I gave like two or three more updates?
I mean, Tide Pods? Tide Pods. Really? I mean, you care so much about social media interaction, you're willing to risk your life.
Apparently, Wanya Morris is working right now at tackle, but with the second team.
You know, I will say this. The more that we see from these Gen Zers, these do become our athletes and the kids that represent the school. And I've noticed the older I get, the less that I look up to them. I mean, I don't look up to them now because I'm out of college. But you know how when you're like a teenager or, you know, you're like 14 and you're watching Tennessee football, you look up to the guys. And once you get older than them, you're just kind of like, yeah, these kids, this younger generation, it's just not the same. You know, back in my day.
Ryan Johnson working first team at center right now. Brandon Kennedy still on the team, obviously. He got the red shirt last year. He's kind of coming back slowly from his knee injury. So if there was a game, he could play.
They're going to
take his time with Kennedy.
I do think the guys that used to play were probably tougher than the guys now.
Aubrey Solomon has also been running with the first team on defense.
Yeah, getting some reps there. He's been splitting reps, I believe, with the first team defense. So maybe they're like, hey, in case this guy gets cleared, he's probably going to be our starter, but hell, maybe he's not going to get cleared, so we got to get other people some reps too.
Do you agree?
That kids these days are soft?
Not all of them, but that in general, the athletes from the older days were probably tougher than the ones now.
I mean, I would venture to say that could be said for society in general. I think as society.
Well, yeah, I mean, in 1941, you had to be pretty tough.
Sure.
Compared to now.
Yeah. I mean, I do think we've gotten a little soft as a society. I do buy into that.
What year would
too much estrogen in the water?
That's a little misogynistic.
That's not misogynistic. What? That's scientific. Nate once told me that.
Nate a scientist?
His wife works in the medical fields. I don't know exactly
what
she does.
Too much estrogen in the what?
Yeah. Apparently with birth control, and everyone's on birth control these days. All the women are on birth control. And whenever they use the bathroom, all of the estrogen doesn't get filtered out of it, so then it kind of just gets recycled, and the estrogen continues to go into our waters, and that's what's turning the frogs gay.
So women are just peeing feminine softness into the world?
Into society. Essentially.
And that's what's happened with the Gen Zers, and that's why they're eating Tide Pods now.
And they're turning the frogs gay.
It's because of all the women peeing.
They're turning the damn frogs gay!
All over the world. I don't think the frogs are gay. I've never seen a gay frog.
I think we got to the bottom of this, they're actually turning transgender.
What, the frogs?
Yeah.
They're turning transgender. So the male frogs are identifying as female frogs?
That's correct.
Don't penguins have that problem as well? Not to say that's a problem. That's not what I'm saying.
Is the Daily Wire is a reputable website, right?
I think it's like a right-wing site.
The Daily Wire is?
I think so.
Oh, never mind.
I mean, I think it's a news site. It's Ben Shapiro.
No.
Yeah, it's got to be reputable. Yeah. What are they saying?
According
about
to a new study headed by University of what kind of college is this? Exeter? Exeter?
Exeter?
Exeter? Is that a college? That's in England? Okay. Sounds reputable now.
It's not Oxford, but it's, you know.
A fifth of all male fish are now transgender or intersex as a result of the chemicals in the water from contraception pills being flushed down drains at homes. Turn the frogs transgender!
So the male fish, I mean, how do they know this? The male fish are like putting on lipstick or something?
Male river fish are displaying feminized traits and even producing eggs, the study found. Some have reduced sperm quality and display less aggressive and competitive behavior, which makes them less likely to breed successfully, according to reports from The Telegraph. The Telegraph, I feel like, is reputable. Sounds like it, at least. Around 20% of the male fish tested over 50 locations showed, quote, feminine characteristics. Along with birth control pills, some plastics and cosmetic and cleaning byproducts are contributing to turning fish trans.
I am a lady. Nemo, 2006.
You got any more headlines?
Jeannie Buss is apparently trying to ship LeBron away.
Talk a little bit about that next and catch up on the NBA. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Jimmy Hums reporting that SEC's men's basketball official Anthony Jordan, you remember Anthony Jordan, right?
Yeah, I found this interesting.
Anthony Jordan was suspended by the SEC after the LSU-Tennessee game.
Oh, well, how convenient.
He has not called an SEC regular season game since then, nor will he call any in the SEC tournament, says Hums.
Hats off to the SEC.
LSU basketball, a little tone deaf, maybe.
Hats off.
Tweets out, guess who's back for their game today. And I guess it's going to be, is it Javon, what's his name? Javonte Smart? Let's call him Smart, but I was thinking his name was Javonte. Javonte Smart makes his return for LSU.
They play in the SEC tournament today.
They are in the quarterfinals.
Versus...
can do it. Come on. I believe in you.
Who are they playing? Old
Florida.
That's what I was going to say.
Old Florida?
Old Florida.
Yeah.
Playing Old Florida today.
I figured I'd go ahead and cut in on you. That way you try to protect you a little bit. Yeah. I heard the old coming out. So old, Florida.
You knew I was going to say Old Florida.
Old Florida.
Got a Zion LeBron comparison here on ESPN. Shocker.
I mean... I imagine Zion's doing a couple of the things that LeBron probably would have done in college. I'm not going to scoff at that comparison just yet. Now, I'm not going to say Zion's going to be the next LeBron, but I'm not going to laugh at them for comparing him. Because, yeah, Zion's been pretty damn good. Last night, probably the best game of his career, as he was a perfect 13 of 13 from the field with 29 points. So what was that headline you gave me? Jeannie Buss explored trading LeBron James?
Yeah, something like that.
Apparently, I guess she was fed up with
LeBron James.
LeBron and his agent Rich Paul after the Anthony Davis stuff came out because, it went really poorly for the Lakers, right?
Yeah, their team quit caring.
Their team fell apart and they ostracized every one of their young pieces. Every player on their team was... linked to be traded.
The ostracization of the LA Lakers has been detrimental.
They said as a way to get back at LeBron and Rich Paul, she started contemplating and looking around the trade market to see what she could get back for LeBron James. Because LeBron James, for some reason, did not request or maybe wasn't even able to get for rules because... I don't know what the rules would be, but no trade clause.
Now, why would she be doing that? You can't trade LeBron James.
I mean, you can.
You can't. Come on.
It would nuke your relationships with upcoming free agents, right? You wouldn't be a player for any big-time free agent for a long time, I wouldn't think.
I mean, you're still the Lakers.
Yeah, you are, but at the same time, if you are a superstar, why would you sign there when you saw that they just traded LeBron James, 3 months into his deal?
Maybe you look at it and you say, I can be the face of that franchise.
Yeah, maybe the palm trees and the coast and all that stuff and movie stars and whatever the hell else is in Hollywood outweighs... the betrayal of LeBron James, maybe some people would laugh and think it's funny. I bet Kevin Durant would think it's funny.
Well, I mean, yeah, a guy like Durant or Anthony Davis, like a real star, probably. Because I don't know if Lakers fans are ever going to get behind LeBron. It's not looking good.
They're going to have to win before they get behind him, but if they win, they'll get there.
But never, I mean, it's never going to be like it was with Kobe, but I don't know that LeBron needs that necessarily.
Well, you're never going to feel the same way about someone you meet in your 40s or 50s as you did about your first love.
I don't know that that's true.
I don't think you will. I think your first love will always hold a special spot in your heart. Someone that you went with and went through a lot with. Like, you can meet somebody new and be happy, but you're not going to feel the same.
So, for the Lakers, well, yeah, but sometimes things end in divorce, and then you get, well, but the Lakers didn't really end in divorce. It was like their wife died.
We got widowed a little bit, yeah.
The Lakers got widowed.
A little bit of a widow situation.
And now here comes the new woman.
Yeah, you can love her.
LeBronna.
You're going to love her a lot, but you're probably going to hold the spot in your heart with somebody you actually went through the struggle with and saw grow over the first half of their career and went through some ups and some really low downs between, you know, a rape case and a lot of losing in that 3-year stretch.
You had five kids with her, too.
Yeah.
Those would be the rings.
I understand.
Did you get it?
I understand.
Okay. Whereas no kids with the new woman because the new woman's too old to have kids maybe.
We don't know.
Maybe where LeBron is.
She might be a little too old to have kids.
Too old to win rings.
They only have a couple more shots at it.
Yeah, LeBron's like a 36-year-old woman.
I think of modern medicine, like 40, 41, 42-year-old woman.
I was off on that.
I feel like the years have extended a little bit. I might be wrong on that.
My mom had me at 32. I thought that seemed fairly old. It's not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's considered old to have. Eventually, the eggs go bad. Is that what it is?
I don't want to talk about this with you, but
why?
I'd say in your 40s, people consider that old to have a kid. Huh. But, I mean, there might be somebody who's trying to have a kid right now at the age of 40, and we're hurting their feelings. I don't know. I don't want to do that to anybody. It's a sensitive subject.
Well, we're not hurting their feelings.
We might hurt their feelings.
It's just biology. I mean,
I know. It's not us. We're not.
I don't think we're being offensive.
We're not.
When have we ever been offensive?
Very rarely.
I just said my mom didn't have me till she was 32. So.
I don't think 32 is old.
I don't think it's old either. But, I mean, it's on the other side of the 20s.
Of the childbearing years?
It's in the later years, I'd say.
I'd say it's right in the middle. Or not right in the middle, I guess. I mean, because tech.
Well, maybe we shouldn't compare LeBron to a childbirthing mother. Maybe we should use a different analogy. I don't know.
I mean, the rings thing was, I mean, it worked good, and then you just went a little too far into it.
I was trying to explain to the audience that LeBron's toward the end of his career.
We understood, and then you yowed it a little bit. You kicked the door in like the Kool-Aid man and made it uncomfortable for everybody.
I like for things to be clear.
Yeah, and uncomfortable.
Clearly uncomfortable.
That seems accurate.
It's my strategy.
I don't know if she actually, shopped LeBron around trying to trade him. It's funny. It would have been hilarious if she would have traded him. And now it at least raises the question of whether or not that's on the table this offseason. Now, I don't know what they could get in return for LeBron James. That sounds crazy to say, but him being, 34 years old now?
You should be able to get anybody you want in return.
I don't know. I don't know where LeBron would rank in terms of what you could get for 3 years of his services towards the end of his career.
Although when you compare birthing to winning championships, the years are about the same, aren't they? You said LeBron's 34?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of – it's actually a really good comparison if you
– It's just a little uncomfortable when you go too literal with it.
Yeah, I mean, you want to be strategic about it, but the years are –
I thought it was a really good comparison, and then, like I said, you just made it a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I mean, some women are Tom Brady, you know. Props to those women.
When you...
Tom Brady's 40.
try to put LeBron James on the market, I don't know what you could get back.
Could get Tom Brady.
One NBA GM said that you couldn't get much for him back because of the circus he brings along with him. Saying, oh, we don't even want LeBron. We don't want him.
That's not true. Everyone wants LeBron.
It's a funny hypothetical to think about.
What if LeBron went to the Warriors? Do you think he'd find a way to ruin the Warriors?
No. Do we think he's a cancer that's just going to ruin wherever he went?
Yeah, that's what some people think.
I don't think anyone thinks that. I mean, I think that they're a little disappointed that the Lakers didn't take more of a step forward, but he did. It's not like we've pointed out, it's not like he ruined a team that was really good last year. They won like 33 or 34 games last year. I don't know the exact number, but it wasn't like they were in the playoffs last year.
Troy says trade LeBron to Memphis or Detroit or Minnesota. That would be hilarious. Guessing Troy's not a big LeBron guy.
That's surprising.
I wouldn't want to see LeBron in a place like that.
I mean, it would be funny if they just shipped him there, but I mean, I would imagine
LeBron in a frozen tundra just doesn't seem right.
It would be funny to see how he would handle it.
He'd probably just be like, nah, I'm going to stay in L.A. and I'm done with basketball.
Yeah, like, I wonder if he would just be like, nah, I'm done playing. Nope, I'm good. No, thanks.
I'm not moving my family to Detroit, Michigan.
I mean, he's all about the player empowerment, so it would be funny. Like, you saw, that's kind of what Pittsburgh tried to do with Antonio Brown, sending him to Buffalo, but Antonio Brown's like, nah.
Nah, I'm good.
And if Antonio Brown's got enough money to, you know, retire and not keep playing, I would imagine LeBron has that too, but it would be pretty damning to his legacy to retire, you know, at the age of 34, maybe take a couple years off of basketball and, I don't know, come back or retire again and then end up somewhere else, like maybe with the Wizards or something. I don't know.
It'd be one thing if you'd won six titles first.
They caught him on camera last night talking to Kawhi Leonard. With a little old-fashioned tampering where he said, we'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Basically like, hey, good luck in the playoffs this year. We're going to talk about the whole I need some help in Los Angeles thing.
We will discuss this later.
I won't try to trade you like I try to trade the young guys. I like you, Kawhi. I like you, man. I would like to see what you could get back on the open market for him, though. What could you fetch? Where would he rank in terms of like assets in the NBA? Be fun to see. Just have an open bidding war. 3 years of LeBron. What are you giving up?
I say you give up your whole franchise and everything you've ever worked for.
You just said he ruined the Lakers, though.
Well,
you've soured on LeBron.
That's part of
it. You're a bandwagon LeBron fan. You've jumped ship on him very quickly.
I jump ship on everything.
I've realized that.
That doesn't make me a bandwagon fan.
You're a bandwagon LeBron fan.
Actually, I still like LeBron. I just don't like the way things are right now. Once he gets back to winning, I'll be back on board.
I think that's the definition of a bandwagon fan.
It's not that I'm a bandwagon. I'm just starting to see that, I think the people who argue Jordan and who think that the comparison's ridiculous are probably right.
Nick tweets in saying, could LeBron IVF himself a championship in L.A.? What does IVF mean? Capital I, capital V, capital F. What does that mean?
Could LeBron
IVF himself a championship in L.A.? I don't know what that means.
Irritably.
In vitro fertilization?
Oh. Oh, he's going back to your comparison.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe.
Boy, that one was right test over tube, our baby? Heads, didn't it?
Gotcha. Good tweet by him. We're dumb. Good job by you, Ben Lee. Did you use the internet to figure that out?
I did use the internet to figure
it out. Good
job
by you for using the internet to figure it out. I mean, I think that's what he's trying to do by getting Kawhi Leonard there.
Is that a surrogate?
He's trying to get some young bodies in to come help him. Come help him.
He needs Kawhi's sperm. In order to impregnate himself so that he can take credit for birthing a championship. But he'll be a part of it too, but not as much as a mother would be. So it's like, well, it makes sense in a way. The thing is, in basketball, though, you need more than just two guys. You're going to need a third. Then you can ask, who's really the father of this championship?
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be the question, even if Kawhi came and won the title in L.A., Kawhi might be the best player. That's the sneaky thing about whoever's going to sign in L.A. this year. If they're going to get a star, if they're going to get an Anthony Davis, if they're going to get a Kawhi, if they're going to get somebody like that, is that guy now the pappy of the franchise? Is that guy going to be the lead dog? I think that's going to be something that it's ironic because it's something that hurt Kobe Bryant, right? Kobe Bryant couldn't get a star to come play with him because Kobe was such a shadow and, quite frankly, a jackass. But he was a lovable jackass at the end of his career, and we wrapped it up and said, yeah, this is just competitive spirit. Alpha, killer instinct, blah, blah, blah. We said that about Kobe, right? Kobe couldn't get a star to come play with him. They got him Dwight Howard. He ran Dwight Howard off. And you could say Dwight Howard wasn't a star, but he's a hell of a lot better than what he was left with after Dwight Howard left, right?
Who would have thought that we could intelligently compare the Lakers to childbirth?
I still feel like there's probably going to be some people who struggle with fertility and stuff like that that's probably going to be mad at us. And that's I feel bad that we've hurt their feelings.
We haven't hurt anyone's feelings.
I don't know. I'm just
worry too much.
I get ultra sensitive about stuff like that.
I know you worry too much.
I just get, you know, childbearing is a sensitive subject for a lot of people. Like it is. Like the comparison.
I know some people have trouble with it. I mean, I know it's a thing.
I know, and I'm worried about offending those people because, like I said, it's a sensitive subject. And the comparison was good. And maybe I'm being a snowflake. Maybe I'm being too sensitive. I don't know, but I think there's going to be somebody whose feelings are hurt, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings as they're just trying to enjoy their Friday morning. That's all. That's all I'm getting at. That's all I'm saying. I know you didn't have any malicious intent in your heart. It just made me feel a little uncomfortable.
If we didn't hurt feelings, people wouldn't love us.
I don't think that's true. I mean, unless we're hurting, like, the competition's feelings or something like that. You don't want to hurt your own listeners' feelings. That seems like a bad business model.
The competition doesn't have sex anyway.
Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. If you are looking for a place to watch the game tonight, I won't be there, but people will be, and it'll be fun. Hops and hollers. Go watch Tennessee try to advance to the semifinals in the SEC tournament tonight. Tip off roughly 9:30. Should be prime drinking time. Hops and hollers, 937 North Central Street.
You know why they call it hops and hollers?
I'd imagine hops was probably something with the beer, and they're in Happy Holler.
I was thinking because you can hop and holler while cheering for your team. It has like a double meaning in a way.
I've always assumed it was because there was like hops and beer. And
I mean, that's more likely.
It's in the Happy Holler.
That is more likely.
Area.
That's the reason for the name. You'd have to ask Todd for the history of the, you know, the proper history. But it could have a double meaning. You know, you hop around, you holler, hey, go team. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know why you'd hop, though.
Just bounce, hop, 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 up and down, jump. People jump. Jump for joy.
I got a dilemma.
Okay.
I'm going to Atlanta after the show.
Let's hear it, Kelly.
And I'm going to... What? Who's
You Kelly? Said you have a dilemma.
That's my
said,
mom's name.
Let's hear it, Kelly.
That's my mom's name. That threw me off.
They're not in Happy Holler. Where the hell is Happy Holler? For some reason, I thought it was in the Happy Holler area. Where the hell is Happy Holler?
Isn't that someplace where like a horror movie was...
I thought Happy Holler was over like North. It was literally North Central.
I did too. Sorry, Todd. It's not in Happy Holler.
Let me go look on the Snap Map because that has it labeled.
For some reason, I thought people used to say that. My bad, Todd. It's not in Happy Holler, but it's on North Central.
So it's more likely that my theory is right.
I guess it is. Where the hell is Happy Holler at?
Wouldn't it actually be Hollow?
He said the holler comes from yelling and music, etc.
I was half right.
You were right.
I'd say you were right about the Hobbs.
Where Happy Holler pulls up on the map literally goes right down North Central Street and across West Baxter Avenue.
Okay.
Which is quite close. Literally where...
close, but no cigar. I mean, he said they're not in Happy Holler. They're not in Happy Holler, but it's on North Central.
That is really close, though.
Yeah, it's like spitting distance, I'd say.
My bad.
Either
way. Go ahead. Tell me about your dilemma, Nelly.
Either way, we love Hobbs and Hollers. What?
Tell me about your dilemma, Nelly.
I don't understand.
Let's hear it, Kelly.
I was just going to say I'm going to miss most of the tournament because I'll be driving to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm excited about spending the weekend in Atlanta.
You know I'm crazy over you.
I'd be lost without you. I forget the words to that song. That's a good song, though.
It's called Dilemma. Nelly and Kelly Rowland. You said you had a dilemma. I called you Kelly. You didn't get it. I thought surely you'd get it. I said Nelly. And
I was
still didn't get it.
I was simply going to say I'm going to miss some of the tournament today, and I'd like to watch it.
I won't be near
a television set.
After all this talk about how much you love the SEC tournament, you're not even going to watch it?
I haven't watched a single game.
You're such a phony.
I know.
You are a fraud.
I like it when I'm there, but I couldn't go. Couldn't go this year.
You're a fraud.
Trey Wallace gets to go. I'm a little jealous. Be nice if we could get credentialed to go.
Put your hat in the ring.
Trey Wallace gets to go to all these cool events, and you know where are the rest of us, right? I mean, somebody's got to be a voice for the voiceless, even though we all have voices because we talk on the radio.
Sure,
but somebody's got to be a voice here. Trey gets to cover all these cool things, and you know we don't.
You could have been our reporter. You have the chops. You have the degree.
I think I lost that. I don't think I can be credentialed.
You have the chops. You have the degree. You worked locally here in the high school scene. I mean, you had it right there in front of you.
I never wanted to be a reporter, though.
Then why? You can't just go to the events to watch them. You got to go to
report.
See,
that's really what I'd want to do. I don't want to go and write a game story. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to go to the press conference or anything, but I would like to go just watch the game courtside. Be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think that kind of defeats the purpose.
I don't know. What do you consider covering the game?
I don't know.
I feel like if you watch it up close, you can talk about it better on the radio.
I'm checking the website. Maybe this is going to make people mad talking about it. I'm checking the website. Is Trey putting up game recaps when he goes to these games?
Yeah, he should be. If he's the one covering the
game. Or is
he just
going to hang out and watch the game and eat the food and get the drinks?
That's kind of what he does. He goes and he does like a little periscope. He kind of steals, you know, Russell's thunder with the halftime periscope.
That's always a little awkward.
Hey, I'm not saying that.
And then,
I don't know.
You know, he like goes and he'll... do the press conferences and stuff, but
yeah,
I don't
the press
see,
conference Trey, is a benefit.
I don't
Trey
see much
game stories, doesn't he?
I don't know. I'm on the website now. I'm not seeing them.
I don't see many write ups.
I mean, when's the last game we had? Auburn.
I don't mean to brag, but I can write a hell of a game story.
I've seen them. You're great at writing.
Is that one of those things you got to have the degree for?
Yeah.
To be a writer? No,
I mean, you don't have to agree, but you got to know what you're doing. I mean,
to get credentialed and all that, to be like.
No, I don't think you have to have a degree.
You got
to
be.
You have to have a reporting job, and you're not really going to get a reporting job anywhere without a degree.
You got to be considered like a journalist, I guess, in a way.
That's not me.
I mean.
Which radio guys are.
What are we?
We're not journalists, but we're in the field of
journalism.
Maybe you could be if you played your cards right,
like Trey.
Again, love Trey. February 9th was the last game recap I see on here.
Over
February
a month.
9th. That's I mean, we've played some games since then, some big ones. I think he's kind of got it figured out where he just gets to go, and probably there's like unlimited ice cream. That was the thing I missed about going to the games as a reporter. Is like, I did it a couple times, right? I went to some football games as a quote reporter and got credentialed, and the unlimited ice cream was
in Neyland.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the
ice cream was great.
The spread.
Unlimited
man.
Sodas. You could just get as much water and soda as you wanted. Some yeah. snacks.
Yeah.
They don't charge big, you for soda?
Big barbecue spread. No, it's all free.
No, free. Free. It's just a free. Cooler full free of them.
Oh, my gosh.
They do it as many as the you arena, want. Too.
Yeah. I've as many as you want.
Essentially bankrupt paying $8 for a Coke.
There you go. Not if you, not if you have
been a reporter.
Not if you have a media credential.
Should have stuck through college.
I mean, there's a lot of media, you know, like, there's not, everyone knows, not a lot of money in the reporting industry, so I think people feel like they got to get their money's worth when they go to these buffet spreads and these free drinks, and they just really go to town on the ice cream and the drinks and the
food. I always
the food.
Did. When I would cover games, I'd show up to the game to watch it like midway through the first half because I'd be, you know, I'd get there late,
yeah,
typically,
the
and then I'd have to eat.
Oh, no, you know, so. You get there late. You got to get there an hour and a half early. Go ahead and start stocking up as long as you can.
I would always get there late.
You get these jobs for the perks.
That doesn't surprise me that you showed up late.
Yeah. Always left with a hell of a game story, though. No matter what. No matter if I watched the game or not. Always a good game story. Essentially, all you have to do is just go. They print out all the stats for you.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you just it's not hard.
Piece it together quarter
really
by quarter.
It's really not hard to do.
Let's
if you half-ass watch the game and look at the stats, I mean, you can write about what happened.
Before I leave, I got one more segment in me. Let's get your game recap of Tennessee Mississippi State after the break. You can do them without watching. You're a professional. I want to hear your game recap for the Mississippi State game tonight.
What do you mean my game recap?
Your game.
You want me to write a game story?
You don't have to write it. You can just read it or give it to me on the air. You can do it. I believe in you. No. What about keys of the game? Can you give me some keys of the game? No,
not really. No.
Okay. whatever.
I'm more of a recap guy.
Okay, I got you.
You're kind of the preview guy.
I mean, I didn't know. Like, I feel like we could take a pretty good shot of what's going to happen tonight at Mississippi State and have a pretty good game recap. I got a pretty good feeling of what's going to happen tonight.
Mississippi State shocked the rest of the conference this evening.
Oh God.
Yeah.
No.
You don't want to hear that headline.
No.
Do you?
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. I only got a couple minutes left in the show, then I'm headed to Nashville. Let's see. I've told you about my friends.
So how do you want to spend your last 5 minutes?
Told you about how much I love Hops and Hollers.
Do I need to do any live reads in
yeah.
the third hour?
I'll send them to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just let me know.
I will.
The talking points. Sometimes I forget.
Yeah, no, I've got them written down.
No Excellent. Worries. Fantastic.
That was all of my show. You want to hear my show notes for the show today?
Sure.
Zion returns. Nothing under it.
He did return.
How important is the SEC tournament to you? ? Nothing under it. Headlines, Brent Tucker goes to Clemson, and then that's it. Just a bunch of live reads.
Well, we've covered all that.
Yeah, we have.
I don't know what me and Ben are going to do for an hour. What do you want to talk about, Ben?
Figure that out next break.
Hat.
Just go to hat every. Well, we got Pump the Brakes and headlines, so
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
probably just go to the hat for half an hour.
Am I doing headlines? Do I need to work on that?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I think we have four things left in the hat,
well,
so
that's good.
That'll get you to the end. Then we'll have to replenish it for next week.
Just enough to end the day.
Tennessee, 5.5-point favorites over Mississippi State. This game feels like it's dangerous. It feels like one that Mississippi State is going to come in feeling good about themselves after blowing out A&M. Mississippi State's probably talking about, hey, we were pushed around. We were bullied by Tennessee and Knoxville, right? And that was just 10 days ago, I believe, when Tennessee played Mississippi State. Does it feel like it has the potential to kind of be like that Tennessee-Kentucky series where one team dominated game one and the other came back, you know, more motivated with a chip on their shoulder in game two? Or nah, because Tennessee's better than Mississippi State and because it's not a home game at Mississippi State?
I mean, look, if we're any kind of for real as a team, we shouldn't even be worried about winning this game tonight. I mean, we're one of the elites of college basketball, right? This game shouldn't even be a concern. Neutral floor, inferior team, just go get a W.
I mean, they're a good basketball team, though.
But they're inferior.
I guess by the definition of inferior, they are not as good as Tennessee, so yes, but to me, inferior seems a little dramatic, although, I mean, they are not as good as Tennessee.
By definition.
By definition, you are correct. Again, it feels a little extreme.
I'm an extreme person.
Yes, you are, my friend. Yeah. Yes, you are.
So, I mean, you just go win.
5.5-point spread, worry you at all? That's a pretty close line.
No. In fact, I think Tennessee will cover that.
Okay.
I don't see any way why Tennessee should not cover that. Mississippi State is a tournament team. What is their seed?
In the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, their bracketology seed.
I know they're the sixth seed in the SEC tournament. They're firmly in the bracket. They're not worried about that. They're still a top 30 KenPom team. I would imagine they are somewhere around the 7 range.
Joe Lunardi has them as a
6, a 7, where does he got them at? Spit it out.
5.
A 5, okay.
In Kansas City. So, basically, neutral site, we're playing a Sweet 16 game here?
Palm has them as a 6.
So, this is like a Sweet 16 game.
Yeah. Neutral site, this should be a pretty good test for Tennessee. I do think Tennessee will have more fans in the crowd. You would hope, at least. Tennessee has loftier goals. I would say Mississippi State, you know, in their locker room, they're saying, hey, let's win the whole thing. But realistically, they just wanted to come at least win one game to avoid disaster. They're probably looking at this Tennessee game as nothing to lose, right? Everything to gain for them. This could be a big tournament win that would boost them up a full seed line.
Man, you look at some of these 4s and 5s. Mississippi State, Kansas State, Marquette, Auburn. It'll be a real disappointment if Tennessee doesn't get to the Elite Eight this year. When you look at the teams that you would see as Sweet 16 matchups, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, I 100% agree that if Tennessee doesn't get to at least the Elite Eight, this season has been disappointing. Now, for the people who put 90 and 80, you know, on the level of importance of the SEC tournament, maybe a SEC tournament championship would soften that blow a little bit. But, man, if you lose the regular season, finish third like you did, if you don't win the SEC tournament championship, and then you don't at least make an Elite Eight, this season's going to be an interesting one to reflect on this offseason or a couple years from now.
Yeah, especially when you're sitting at 23-1 and thinking it's the greatest team you've ever had.
They still have a chance to be the greatest team Tennessee's ever had.
All
of their goals are still ahead of them. I mean, granted, the regular season SEC championship is not, although who knows, like LSU – it seems like the writing's on the wall there with them having to vacate some stuff. But, you know, whatever. You're not going to raise a banner for a vacated SEC championship. But still, the big tournament goals, the big postseason goals that everyone wanted so badly all year, right ahead of you. You got a good draw. State, Kentucky, LSU, Auburn, or Florida in the championship. Now, if Alabama could beat Kentucky, that'd be pretty good too.
They've done it once.
They have done it once. I'll feel pretty bad about Tennessee if they don't at least make the championship. If they can't beat Kentucky on a neutral site, I will be really concerned going in.
Will you pick us to lose in the Sweet 16?
No. I'll probably still think we're an Elite Eight team, but I would be, at that point, that would be as far as I would pick Tennessee.
It would be upsetting.
Elite Eight would still obviously be a good year, but we changed our goals.
And you won't play a team as good as Kentucky before the Elite Eight.
Right.
With the seed you're going to have.
A bad SEC tournament showing would really make me nervous about the whole Rick Barnes postseason thing. He needs to kind of get some hardware at Tennessee. He needs to go on a deep tournament run.
Do you fire Rick Barnes if we don't win the SEC tournament?
No, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, I'm not. I don't think I'm doing that.
Me neither.
All right, boys, bring us home in the hour three. I am headed to Nashville. If you're in Nashville and you're going to the game, hit me up. We'll hang out. We'll get a drink beforehand. Cody, I will talk to you guys soon. Hold it down. I'll see you Tuesday. Benley, I'll see you Monday. Same as you, Parker. Hour two in the books. Hour three on deck. McClure's driving. I don't know where it's going to go, but stay tuned. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.